Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm not doing the wedding, but I'll tell you, if I were, I don't know that I'd do it.
Not right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I mean, right now.
Maybe the relationship needs more work before. I just want the best relationship for you.
Another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Today, we're talking Summer House. Man, what a great season. And I feel like, I mean, I'm going to keep you guys abreast, if you will, of the after show and what happened. But like, I kind of feel like y'all got to be watching it or at least listening to the end of the episode, right? So let's get into it. As we start off, we're full outer space party, which I think we just need to keep in mind of. It makes every interaction that happens in this episode so much funnier because, you know, Sierra's dressed like a damn alien. There's Amanda and Paige are like, sometimes they've got one blue contact in, sometimes there's two. There's just like a lot happening, right? So we start off where we ended off last week with Lindsay telling Carl, you know, I'm just really not really turned on about you because you're not crushing life. And she's really trying to be nice. Like, she isn't trying to go there. Whether this is like an awareness that she's on camera or not, I'm not sure. But she's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want you to think that I'm criticizing you right now. I just feel like we're in a good place right now. Like, I don't want to mess it up, right? I'm not saying we have to make the same amount of money, but just that you're doing anything at all to bring in any type of money because I need that security. And I'm just trying to tell you what turns me on. I'm doing a terrible job. So Carl is trying, because she's trying to be nice, he's trying to act like this doesn't enrage him. And it obviously does. Like, he's clearly simmering under the surface. He's like, no, cool. Like, I understand what you're saying, whatever. Like, but he's completely shut down, right? So Lindsay's like, I guess I'm just asking you for you to figure it out like a little bit quicker, what you want to do in life. So Carl looks down and is like, okay. So she says, I know, like, you know, I want to be a mom, like, and I want to have your children. He's like, uh-huh. And she says, well, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. I love you so much. Like, I'm so sorry I got so deep on accident. So meanwhile, Danielle and Gabby go inside, and Danielle's asking, how's your mojo doing, right? Gabby's like, great. So Danielle says, okay, have you been flirting? And Gabby says, why does everybody think I'm so incapable of flirting? And Danielle says, well, you are actually, because you're so closed off to the opportunity. And sometimes it's not like you're a perfect person. You don't even try to get to know their personality. So Gabby says, but if I want to go out there and grab somebody and kiss them, I would do that, but it's not like something I want to do. So Danielle asks Gabby, is there anybody at the party that you're interested in? Gabby says, yeah, balloon guy's hot as hell. And Danielle goes, yeah, but I'm also laying down that groundwork too. Like, you didn't even try to flirt with him. Like, with Joe, it was not giving flirtation when you met him. So Gabby says, but I just met him. And Danielle says, but yeah, normally, like, in the bar, you're just meeting them too. So there's, like, swag or an opening. And Gabby says, you thought I was giving clothes off when I just met this guy? And Danielle's like, yeah, you were, actually. You were. Gabby tells her, I don't really think that's fair. And then she says in a confessional, do I need to put myself out there more? Absolutely. But why are you trying to foster some sort of competition with me? Like, that's the worst way to motivate me. Very weird. Like, do we think that Danielle is trying to rewrite history from what happened with the Jordan and Alex situation in Winterhouse? Because it's giving, like, why is she doing this? One thing about me is I'm not competing against any woman. So if I think that I have to, like, kick a little ankle out and do some effort, oh, you can miss me with that. I'm done. So the idea that Danielle is actively trying to do this with somebody that she lives with, especially, and is allegedly friends with, this is very strange behavior. After that, I just have to lend credence to an incredible and historic moment in my mind, and maybe my mind only. Y'all know the black guy who's been in the parties in the background since, like, season one? He finally made it inside the house, y'all. Like, let's celebrate it. Not only that, he's on the table, swinging a purse around like a helicopter, like Petey Pablo. I'm happy for him. I'm thrilled. Like, hello, let's celebrate that. But anyway, Gabby goes over to Paige and Amanda because, frankly, she doesn't have anybody else to talk to. Let's be real. She can't find Lindsay. Who else is she going to confide in? So Danielle just, actually, I just want to pause real quick. I was talking to my good friend Lucretia, and we were like, why is Gabby not as integrated with the rest of the girls as she should be? And the obvious answer to that is that she and Sierra don't like each other, or rather, Sierra doesn't seem to like her for whatever reason. But it honestly is kind of a national tragedy that Paige and Gabby aren't friends. Like, they seem, they're fashion girlies, they're around the same age, I'm assuming. They both have, like, similar energy. Like, Paige likes to get weird, you know? And Gabby's a, you know, strange girl herself, and I mean that respectfully. And actually, this brings me to something that I meant to bring up, talking about Summer House Martha's Vineyard. I love Noelle, I love Shanice, and I love Summer because we're getting, like, weird black girl representation that we have never seen before. Like, and I love it. Like, I want to see the girls in Summer House Martha's Vineyard forming some cat-themed girl group, and all the lyrics are just meows. Like, that's weird as shit, and I want to see it. Bring back my girls. So I appreciate that. And I want Gabby and Paige to be friends. I think it's messed up that they're not. Okay? And I'm going to keep it at that. And that's a warning to you two, Gabby and Paige, to get it together. Because I think we're missing out on a beautiful friendship. Anyway, so she's, like, crying. Gabby's having a real bad time emotionally. She tells them, Danielle just sat me down and told me I'm a self-sabotager. And I'm like, first of all, having standards isn't self-sabotage, but she told me that I wasn't looking for guys, but there just wasn't anybody I was excited about. So Amanda says, listen, Danielle's got a lot of opinions about other people. And in walks Danielle, all light and bright, like, hey guys, what's up, right? Gabby leaves. She doesn't want to deal with it. So Paige tells her, Danielle, I think Gabby might be upset with you because you told her she self-sabotages. And Danielle's very matter-of-fact, like, well, she knows that about herself. And Paige says, yeah, but I think you were just very abrasive. And Danielle goes, no. She just didn't want to hear it tonight. And, like, that's fine. And so Paige says, but sometimes you'll say exactly what you think to people. And I think it really threw her off. And Danielle says, but I said it in a funny way, I thought. So Amanda goes to find Gabby. She's in either, like, a big-ass shower or a sauna or something, sobbing. And she's like, you know, I can't take it anymore. And everybody's like, what's wrong with you? Like, why aren't you flirting with this guy? But why does it have to be me on everybody else's timeline? Like, why can't I just do what I want to do? Why is everybody looking at me like I'm the fucking issue? And Amanda's like, no. And she says, yes. Like, y'all are looking at me like I'm the problem. It's me, Taylor Swift style. And she starts crying again. And Amanda hugs her and says, "You're not the problem. And I'm really sorry that people have made you feel that way, myself included." So in the bedroom, Paige is telling Danielle, "Sometimes you can't like say everything you want to say to people." Danielle is also, I mean, we know what state she's in. She's drunk, right? But she's standing in front of Paige like a Barbie. Like, you know how some of the Barbies, their arms are bent at the elbows? So she's just, like, moving kind of robotically. Like, what? Like, she doesn't have free will of her body. Like, I never meant for it to go this way, Paige. But Paige is like, "Yeah, but you have a way of saying things to people that jab them. But if anybody did that to you, you'd be like, who the fuck are you?" So Danielle tells her, "My personality type is just a little bit more in your face, and that's why, as a founder/CEO, I like try to understand people's personalities, because you don't receive encouragement or bad stuff the same way, you know? And I thought we were good enough that she wouldn't receive it that way." Now, Paige is looking at her like, as soon as she said founder/CEO, Paige is, I can't imagine what was rolling through her mind at that point. Like, oh, girl, you tried it. You absolutely tried it. Paige tells her, "Yeah, but like Gabby's not an employee. She's going to feel hurt by it." Meanwhile, Gabby's got a crying goal. She's telling Amanda, like, "I don't want to cry because my makeup looks so fucking good." And Amanda's like, "No, you're right. It is so good." So Paige says in a confessional, "Your friend is crying in the bathroom and you're talking about being a CEO and founder of what? Like literally of what?" So Paige tells her, "All I know is that Gabby's upset right now, so maybe you should say something to her." And Danielle goes, "No, that's silly. That's dumb." And Paige says, "That's dumb to you, but it's not dumb to her. And I'm trying to tell you, you made your friend cry." And Danielle goes, "I didn't make her cry." And Paige says, "Okay, well, she's crying because of the shit that you said to her. I'm just bringing it to your attention. And you're telling me it's stupid that she's crying. You think that you have a moral compass and that you're the authority on what everybody should say." And Danielle says, "That's not true." And Paige says, "But I just told you that your friend is upset and you told me that's stupid. She shouldn't be crying about it. That's you thinking that your opinion is more important than her feelings." So Danielle says, "Well, I just don't think I did that." And Paige says, "Well, okay, but I'm telling you that that's what she said. She said you did. Who the fuck do you think you are? Now I'm going to go make sure your friend is okay." So she gets up into the steam room where Gabby's like crying to her sister, Danielle, who's telling her, "Just keep breathing. Like, you don't have to say anything right now. Just keep breathing." Like, she's fully hyperventilating in this moment. So now Amanda is back in the bedroom and she's trying to talk to Danielle, attempting to say something. But Danielle's like gone. She's out the door before Amanda could even finish her sentence. She's like, "I'm not doing this." And Amanda's now pissed off. She's like, "Oh, you can have this whole conversation with Paige, but not me? Sick." So now Amanda's annoyed because Danielle completely blanked the fuck out of her. So she goes and joins Paige and Gabby. And Paige is telling her, like, Danielle is basically projecting by trying to force you into hitting on a guy that she's also going for. And then Lindsay finally figures out what's going on. So she comes into the room and Amanda gives her all the tea about how upset Danielle was. And she's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to go check on her because she looked like she was hyperventilating." So Amanda turns to Paige and says, "Can I ask you a question? Do people not take me seriously?" And Paige says, "Like in this outfit or in general?" So Amanda says, "The moment you walked away and I tried to talk to Danielle, she walked out. So does she not take me seriously? Like, does she think I'm a joke of a woman?" And Paige goes, "Yeah, I think so. I think she just has a superiority complex. And if she tells me one more time that she's a CEO and a founder, I'm going to rip my hair out." Danielle really told Gabby, "You were one of my elite employees," and just giggled in her face like, "This is weird." And I'm trying to figure out, like, what would have happened if Gabby had landed Balloon Guy Joe? Like, I think Danielle would have flipped the fuck out like she did on Jordan. And it would not have been good. So, okay, so walk, tiptoe through the tulips with me. I think what's happening, and we see this happening when she's talking to Balloon Guy Joe and, like, guiding him into her bedroom, that it seems like she has decided to take on the persona of boss bitch Danielle, and people are trying to see, like, where the receipts, and they're not finding them. But what she's doing is just, like exuding this and like trying to take on this era of, like, I don't know if she thinks she's Emily Weiss of Glossier or like what, but it's giving fake it till you make it is what I'm trying to say. And I don't think that like unleashing this boss and CEO cosplay on people who you're supposed to be like having friendships with is gonna help. I think it's only, you know, it's like How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's like the opposite of that. And that's a business book that you should be reading. So check it out. So back to the party, Wes and Sierra are kissy facing all over the place. And Sierra's manager, Derek, I think, is trying to make them kiss. And he also says, ew, when they do. So Wes asks him, are you not into heterosexual kissing? And Derek goes, no, it's just because I want to kiss Sierra. What's going on with Derek? I'm like, I know he's a homosexual, but I just feel like we're doing daddy duty for Sierra. And also there's some sort of sexual element to it. And like, I'll watch it. I'm just curious. Just let me know what's happening here. Okay. Just let me know. Drop the OnlyFans. Anyway, so then Derek tries to grab Wes, and Wes is like, hold. Oh, sorry. Wes and Derek kiss each other. So I will say this is like consensual. First they kiss, and then Derek tries a little, you know, little tickle of the pickle, and Wes is like, no, 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 hold on, let me make sure I'm ready. And then he, like, you know, puts his penis into full glory for judgment, and, you know, Derek takes a little peek, and he says, I'm impressed. So Wes is in a confessional. That's the first dick touch I've had this summer, so small win. Thanks, Derek. Ooh, how do we feel about Wes? I saw the tweets, and like, do I need to check myself? Because y'all were very upset about West last week, and I guess I just didn't take it as deeply as y'all did. And I think I know you guys are right. I just didn't think about it like that. Like, oh yeah, he is being a little I knew he was being presumptuous, or not presumptuous, I don't think that's the right word, but a little bordering on entitled. But, and I do think that, like, having to pussy pop around Amanda and Paige and be like, hey, so when you guys were single, did y'all give it up? Did y'all spread your legs, like, date one or date two or date three or like 3 months, or like, how long did that happen? And also, I did think I said two dates in 6 weeks that y'all have known each other. I'm not sure, like don't we maybe want to go on date three before we start hemming and hawing about why we're not getting laid? It's just interesting to me. But like, talking to other people about how you can get laid rather than doing the work to make her feel comfortable to get her to that place is a bad choice, you know, a mistake. Back in the house, Gabby started to calm down a bit, and she tells Danielle, I'm just gonna go to sleep, her sister Danielle. And I gotta say, I'm loving how activated this whole Danielle thing is making Amanda. Like, she goes out to tell Danielle, or to tell Kyle, Danielle has no respect for me, and she tried to use her title as CEO and founder, but I'm gonna use my title as wife of a CEO and founder to talk to people however the fuck I want. And Kyle's like, what just happened? Meanwhile, Danielle is using her skills as CEO and founder to make moves on Balloon Guy Joe. She's like, you want to go out? You want to stay here? And he's like, you're the boss. You think? She's like, oh, I like that. And then she says in a confessional, you're lost, Gabby. You snooze, you lose. And then she takes Joe into her room and gets butt-ass naked before getting into bed. And Joe uses his, you know, Mylar lips on her and, you know, goes downtown. Shout out to her. Shout out to you, Joe. So Wes and Sierra are getting into bed together. And she says something like, oh, I regret being in my alien costume for so long tonight. And he's like, well, I was going around telling people, hey, check out my alien girlfriend. She goes, oh, am I a girlfriend? And he says, well, only as an alien. So then she says, well, I think you like me. Like, full baby voice. She's down so bad. And he's like, well, that's how I feel too. So Amanda's showing Kyle some of these, like, they have voice-activated lights in, I don't know, is this the Club Send It room? Or if this is an additional room? I don't know. But they've got these lights on the walls. And they're voice-activated, so he just goes, boobs, boobs, boobs. And then he tells Amanda, this is all I need. It doesn't really take much for me. if you could just put these up in the suburbs, we'll be good. Okay. So the next morning, Paige and Amanda have, they've continued this, we're going to hide under the bed and take so much pleasure in it. So Kyle walks into Paige's room, you know, the bed bug hive. And he's like, where's Amanda? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. The glee that she gets from this is very funny to me. So Kyle asks, like, oh, are you guys going out to Montauk?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
They're like, no, no, no. Paige says, I'm not going mostly because Craig's in town, but I don't want to be at a table where Danielle, like, she got the table. I'm not trying to go. And Amanda's like, yeah, that part. And you just tell, and Kyle's in that moment, Kyle's like, damn, Amanda just said she's not going to Montauk. So now I'm not going to Montauk. Oh, I want to go to Montauk. So Danielle goes into Gabby's room and she's like, I just want to have a one-on-one. And Gabby's like, yeah, girl, you were on a millie with your guys this weekend. And Danielle's like, I know, but that's kind of what I was going for. And Gabby's like, all right, well, you nailed it, bitch. So Danielle says, I just want to give you the biggest hug. Like, they told me I made you cry. And Gabby says, yeah, our conversation was wild for sure. And then Danielle tells her, I was just kind of going off the conversation we had in the car and like wanting to push you or motivate you. And Gabby's like, no, I know you're a Capricorn. You want to accomplish things. But like yesterday, it was just too much. Our conversation left in a way where I felt judged. And Danielle says, I never want you to feel like I'm judging you. Gabby says, I'm more than open with help, but I think you conflated two different things. Like with my relationships, I am fucked up for that. But when it comes to hooking up with people, I'm good. Like, do I have standards? Do I want to like the person? Yeah. And Danielle's like, okay, I understand. Cause I just thought you were like, oh, he's hot. Go for it. So Danielle's like, okay, I thought that you were like me. You were just like, see a penis that's available and just like no scruples whatsoever. Do not care. What is his name? Balloon, career, who cares? Just fuck him. I would also like to say that for the record, Gabby said on the after show that she was attracted to Balloon Guy Joe when he was out there setting up. But as soon as he put those skinny jeans on, it was over. She was not interested in him. So Gabby says in a confessional, my last relationship has definitely left some deep cut scars on me. But those feelings get stored away. They don't go anywhere and then they explode. And like, I don't know how to make it different. So she also kind of explains this in the after show. She says that the way she processes emotions is just like she doesn't want to feel anything bad when it happens. Stuff it all down, and then explode. And that the explosion that we saw had not happened since 2021. And she brings up, she's doing this interview with Lindsay, and she brings up like she had been that way since she's 13. And Lindsay's like, did something happen to you when you were 13? And Gabby says that her grandmother passed away. And that like everybody around was obviously very upset about that. And she just went into like, I'm going to be the strong one. So like, y'all don't have to worry about me. And then it came out at the most inopportune moment, in her words, at the wake. So it's just kind of been like that ever since. So it wasn't just that Danielle was like forcing Balloon Guy Joe down her throat. It was also just like whatever had happened since the last time she had cried in 2021. So Kyle and Carl are outside the next day. They're cleaning up and He's like, oh, I really want to go to Montauk. But I'm like, I just feel like if I'm going to push Amanda, she's going to be down until Wednesday if we go out there. So then Kyle's like, have you talked to Lindsay? Like, I knew you guys were going to talk about career stuff. And he says, well, the way I interpreted it is that Lindsay's really worried that I don't have a job. You think, babe? So Kyle's like, well, what did she say specifically? And he's like, oh, well, she said it's just like a turn on if I have a hustle and a passion. And I feel like I've been hustling and I have these things going on. But seriously, like, what have you done? Like, her business is deactivated. But the way she views it is that she's bringing in these brand deals and that's what her career is. But that's not a career. I'm not trying to be tit for tat, but it definitely hits my ego. Maybe you should have just ended that sentence right there. He said this narrative that I'm not doing anything or making money. Like, I made $70,000 already this year doing paid posts. And I don't make as much as she does because I'm not a woman and I don't have as many followers. And she's made 150. So Kyle says, well, it sounds like you need her to just be supportive and not question you. Which, like, yeah, this is basically every man ever. And Carl's like, yeah, on the one hand, she's concerned about her future, but I honestly didn't think that I ever understood from her that she wants to be a stay-at-home mom. So Carl says in a confessional that the way I've known Lindsay, she's been this independent, badass woman, and now it sounds like she wants to be a stay-at-home mom and raise family, and that's amazing. But I don't have the wallet right now to support a family. And, like, all of a sudden, you just want to stay at home. Like, it's a lot of pressure for me. Like, to me, this is giving that because Carl is not financially where he wants to be, his ego is bruised, and now he's low-key like, ew, you want to be a stay-at-home mom? You want to be an influencer? Like, I did not like that at all. And Carl, we're going to have a lot of conversations about this during couples therapy, but I did not appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, clearly all of this is just he's lashing out because he doesn't want to say, I don't have money like that. And I, like the disrespect that he was giving towards her, towards wanting to be a mother, like a mother with a newborn child who is, like, healing her body and, you know, all of that, like, raising your child. Like, she is right. Now, she made this comment about, I'm going to be having your kid and he's going to be coming out slam dunking several times. And it's like, okay, we heard the joke the first time, girl. We don't need to hear it a second. But she's not wrong. Like, my body's going to be healing. I'm giving birth to you. And I mean, I get for both of them, I'm kind of curious as, oh, okay. Actually, no. I was going to say I'm kind of curious as to why this conversation did not come up earlier from both of them. But Lindsay said in a confessional that really what she was trying to do, like, she's like, it's not that I don't want to work. I'm always going to want to work. Like, that's just part of my personality. But I do want that time to heal and blah, blah, blah. And she said that really she was so desperate to get Carl to start working that she just kind of threw out the I want to be a stay-at-home mom thing as a way to motivate him. She's like, this is my Hail Mary pass to be like, okay, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. This is going to light a fire under your ass to actually, like, do something about that. So Kyle tells Carl, you guys are months out from a wedding. And this is a conversation that, like, maybe most couples would have had by now. And Carl says, yeah, this is definitely a conversation we should have had a year and a half ago. So, uh-oh. Back in the city, Amanda's talking about doing some content. Like, they're at Loverboy HQ. She's talking to the team about, like, some posts that they're going to do. Kyle's back in his office, and I'm like, once again, I'm fucking right. Who have I been calling standing desk energy for the past several seasons? Kyle. Who has a standing desk and only a standing desk in his office? Kyle. Thank you. Sierra, Amanda, and Paige go to the Herald Square Old Navy, if you guys were curious, for some serious acts of SponCon. Sierra went to Montauk, as we find out. Like, this was not them just, oh, we're going out Sunday for a day party. This was an overnight thing. So Sierra and Wes went with basically everybody Sierra does not talk to because Paige and Amanda weren't there. So she's like, you guys ditched me. And I went to Montauk with Lindsay and Gabby and Danielle, the girls who I have historically not always gotten along with. But we still had a great time. I'm shocked myself. They show a picture there. Jesse's there with everybody. Are we just, like, not acknowledging him whatsoever? Jesse comes back. He comes back, but at what point? At what point? A producer asks Sierra in a confessional, did you share a room with Wes? And she's like, yeah, of course. We didn't do anything. Just so you know. So she tells Amanda and Paige, like, it was fine. And Paige says, well, was everything fine between Danielle and Gabby? And she's like, it seemed fine, but honestly, I wasn't really paying attention. And she's like, Sarah, you missed the whole thing between them in my room. Gabby was hysterically crying because Lindsay brought Balloon Guy for her, but Danielle put in so much work. And then she told me, or she told Gabby she self-sabotages. But the kicker is that Amanda tried to talk to Danielle, but Danielle only gave her 5 seconds of her time before walking out. And how condescending is she? Now, mind you, I love that Paige didn't even see this interaction between Danielle and Amanda, but still was like, and can you believe that that's what happened? She gave her 5 seconds of her time. Paige has the gift of gab, and we do have to acknowledge that. I do think that her experience now with the Giggly Squad, God, I hate that I'm complimenting her. I really hate this for me. But I do think that, like, all of her experience being on having that Giggly Squad cop podcast, not that I listen to it, probably really helps her in going in front of this camera in the confessionals and just in real time and telling a story in a clear and concise way that's, like, compelling. I honestly think, like, that really is helpful. So Sierra is like, I just feel like Danielle talks to people like that because she just meets people where they're at. So, like, Amanda, nut up, basically, right? And Amanda's like, but it just makes me feel like I'm not good enough. Like, it's a shitty feeling. And Paige tells her, nobody ever gives you any credit for your creativity and your emotional intelligence. And you know what I found out the other day? When Loverboy first started, Amanda kept it afloat. And Sierra goes, what do you mean by that? And Paige says, with her money. So, I guess I didn't interpret it the same way that Paige did. I don't know. I do know Amanda said Kyle put most of his money into Loverboy and that she was the only person with, like, an active income coming in. So I guess I didn't really take that as, like, Kyle was, like, broke by broke and like, penniless. And that they were, like, I don't know. To me, if you're saying she kept Loverboy afloat, I'm thinking she put money into the company, you know? But I don't think that's what, I think she meant, like, I was the only one that had a secure income while he was trying to make it. I mean, not that I want to give Kyle credit. I don't know if she kept Kyle, a lover boy afloat is accurate. So Sierra's like, you are the definition of a ride or die chick. And Paige goes, yeah, also nobody gives you credit for basically creating the band. So Amanda says, yeah, I always joke that he dated me for free design advice. And Paige is like, yeah, he did. And so Paige says, when I think of you, I see you, like, basically being a creative director, like, at photo shoots, telling this, telling that, right? And Amanda says, yeah, that's what I want to do now, but, like, there's just more difficulties and hurdles, like, when you're working with your husband. And then she goes on to say that she wants to, oh, well, Sierra says, do you think that you have an identity outside of Kyle and Loverboy? Because I don't. And she does say, that's mean, but everything you do is just so Kyle and Loverboy, and you're so fucking creative. And Paige says, I wish you saw yourself the way I do in my head. And Amanda's like, you guys are going to make me cry. And Paige says, listen, I think you have so much potential, and we could blame Kyle all day, and I would love to, you know? But I think that you do hold yourself back a lot, too. And I don't want you to wake up one day and have any kind of regret ever. And Amanda, like, the way they speak to each other, I think is very, like, loving. You know? I don't know. Like, I think it maybe come off as, like, a little too familiar with people. Or a little, like, why does Paige get to have this, like, relationship with both Kyle and Amanda, which they both are, like, talking shit about each other. That seems weird. But I think that, like, Paige is... I gotta move on. You ever, like, have a crush on somebody and then you catch yourself talking about them in a way that, like, you don't need to talk about them at all? Like, somebody mentions the color green and they're like, oh, so-and-so's favorite color is green. And then you hear yourself and you're like, oh, God. Diva down. So Amanda says that she thought she might want to design swimsuits for chicks with big boobs and bodacious bodies like her because, you know, she's had this problem just having, like, the most gorgeous, beautiful, luscious tits in your life. And, you know, like, it's a little waste, and that's been so hard for her. And I feel for her, you know? Show us more. Amanda says in a confessional that, like, she always liked designing. She took a class in high school, but she kind of got shut down because she doesn't know how to sew. But she does have an eye for design, so it's time for her to do her own thing. I don't want to say that, like, a bikini line would be, like, diminutive and not good enough, but I do think, like, maybe we should do denim. She just seems like, I only associate her with bikinis in, like, you know, just thinking about her fondly to myself. But I think she's, like, a real jean girl. And I do, like, I watch How to Make It in America, so I know that the world of denim isn't, you know, easy, especially in New York. But I think that that's a smart idea for her. Like, do a capsule collection, curate, like, a little line with, like, a cute brand. I see that for her. And then, like, develop that into something bigger. So we end our girl power moment with Amanda going to try on a jacket and asking them if she should get the size up or not. And they're like, Paige, rather, is trying to make this into, like, an after-school moment. Like, you can do it. You can make a decision on your own, Amanda. Be strong. And she's like, chill the fuck out, y'all. I dressed myself when I got here. Like, I didn't need you bitches to do it. Just tell me what size I need. So the episode ends, y'all. Queen Sharon. We're headed over to the Jersey Shore, okay? Queen Sharon's there. Stepdad Lou. Carl's there to visit his parents, right? Carl says in a confessional, like, he was already ready to embrace the new modern family with the stepdad Lou, but then his brother passed away, like, a week after they got married, right? So it just made their connection even more important. So Lou's like, how are things going? And Carl says, you know, it's fine. It just kind of hit me that my time going out in the Hamptons is probably going to change. This is the last summer before I get married and things get more serious. And, you know, Lindsay wants to have a family at some point. Yo, why did Sharon laugh when she asked Carl, are you ready to have a family? And so he says, I mean, ever since Curtis passed, it put this big reminder in my head about how much I care deeply about family. So, like, I'm excited about starting a family, but it's scary. And she's like, yeah, you should be scared. So then he says, I just feel like Lindsay and I have energy. Like, we still got this young energy and we want to do social stuff, right? So Sharon's like, well, is it hard with you being sober? And he says, no, like, I'm not walking into a bar and starting to shake because there's alcohol around. What I struggle with is the behavior of other people when it gets aggressive or loud or activated, you know, things like that.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So, what is Lou? Sorry. Lou says, Lindsay was sober for a while, right? Lou asks questions in a way that, like, he's, I don't know if Carl was catching it, but I was catching it. I'll explain it to you. So Lou says, Lindsay was sober for a while, right? And Carl says, yeah, I think about 6 months. And Lou goes, well, you must have felt really supported. Oops. Like, do you remember that feeling? How good it felt? And Carl says, yeah, I felt incredibly supportive, but at the same time, I'm not trying to dictate her life. And Lou says, but isn't that hard to be around? And Carl says, what I've always wanted for Lindsay, and I hope that she's understood, is that I want her to have a healthy relationship with alcohol. But it's not all about alcohol. Like, she's not this monster. I don't wake up in the middle of the night and catching her pouring vodka into a cup. Like, it's not to that degree. And that's where I struggle with being the dictator of her life and telling her, you can't do that because I've got this issue. And Sharon says, but it's not you dictating. It's her understanding of what you need. So Carl says, but I think she does understand, but, you know, like, sometimes when I experience something, I try to communicate and we just miss each other. Like, but I'm not giving up. I love Lindsay. You know I do. And there's just things that we need to navigate. I hope that you guys noticed at one point Lou's eyes got wide while Carl was being like, yeah, I love her, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, do you? So Sharon asked Carl, okay, what are the things that you guys need to be navigating through? And he's like, well, we're not communicating well. And then things get insulting on both sides. And Lou says, well, do you live in fear of an explosion? And Carl says, yeah, sometimes there's been some drinking, I can sense like she's a little upset. Absolutely. I'll be like, let's tread a little bit lightly here. So Lou tells Carl, I know you love her and you want to defend her and that's your role. You're engaged and she's, you know, you're going to be her soon to be husband, right? You came to Pittsburgh Memorial Day weekend and you were really hurting and it was out of your relationship. It seems almost like it appeared to be abusive. So Carl says in a confessional, I don't want to share every nitty-gritty fight that we had, but around Memorial Day, which is the time that they went to that beach club and they had the conversation on the steps and everybody was watching them and like Kyle and Lindsay were, or Kyle and Danielle were at the bar and Lindsay ended up leaving out the front gate and then almost getting run over by a mail truck. So Carl went to Jersey or Pittsburgh that weekend. And I guess he like told them everything would happen. And he says that he was there for Pittsburgh. He left for like a few days after that. And he was in Pittsburgh for a few days. And when he left the house, his mom and Lou were concerned. So Lou says, that's a very strong word, abuse, but you were really affected. In a confessional, Carl says, listen, my parents know we weren't in a great spot, but right now we're in a better spot. You know, I kind of wish I had never told my mom that Lindsay and I had that fight, but I'm human and I needed people to talk to. And there was a time where I literally didn't talk to anybody about anything going on in our relationship because I lived in fear that if I were to share anything that were going on and Lindsay found out about it, that I would get into trouble. Y'all. I don't think I've seen... Lindsay was on Watch What Happens Live. I don't know that she addressed that. I would be, if I were her. I would not like that at all. I would be very upset about that. So Lou asks Carl, what happened? What changed? And Carl says, listen, I mean, I'm certainly guilty and responsible and accountable for my role. I feel like we never hear what exactly he's accountable for. Like, he never really tells us. He just says that he's accountable for it and that, like, he's guilty of things. But we never quite hear what those are. But, I'm just not going to sit here and say it's all on her. And so Lou says, well, you get married because of the relationship you have. And if it's fearful and it's not working the way you want it to work, getting married is not going to solve that. And so Carl says, but I want Lindsay and I to be happy. And that's when I get really sad and depressed because I wonder if I'm even the right guy for her. And Lou says, okay, that's not indicative of a healthy relationship. And I think only people who are having a healthy relationship should be thinking about getting married. Also, Sharon has been squirming this whole time. Like, oh, do we know that we're on camera? Like, I don't know if we should be talking about this. Like, she's keeping it real cute, but she's like, Lou's really letting the chopper spray. I was not expecting this. So Lou says it's much harder and it's so much more painful to end a marriage than to get it right before you get married. I've been a minister all my career and I've married tons of people. There have been couples that in getting to know them, I wouldn't marry them. So, and I just feel like in good conscience, I couldn't do that. And it almost seems that way with you and Lindsay. Like, I'm not doing the wedding, but I tell you, if I were, I don't know that I'd do it. And Sharon goes, well, not right now. And Lou goes, yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Not right now. And Sharon says, well, maybe the relationship needs a little bit more work before. Like, I just want the best relationship for you that you can possibly have. You deserve it. And Carl's like, well... I don't know what to do. Like, the train's on the tracks. We've already invested our time, our energy. We live together. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to marry my best friend. And Lou says, but you didn't envision this. And it's going to be worse when you're married. in this present time, I don't think you're ready for this, Carl. And I think that if you're going to continue this, you're going to set yourself up for a world of pain. And I know that you know that there's a part of you that knows this. And he said, I'm sorry. I know that's painful to hear, but I think I'm speaking my truth. Lou's truth. And Carl says, it's such a fucking mess now. And Lou says, yeah, it is. And that was basically the end of the episode. You know, Lindsay's been talking, and I never really find too much clarity with what she's saying. I'm completely rocking with her with the, I would like the ability to be at home and raise my children should anything happen. Like, I mean, God forbid she's, you know, something happens. She has some sort of complication, or the baby has a complication, or, you know, like, it would really require a parent being there in a true 24-hour way. Even if they were the happiest, most easiest baby in the world, you're still having to do that, right? Like, she should fully have that option, as every woman. Like, really, you know, the real crime is the American healthcare system. You know, we shouldn't even be having these conversations. But I gotta say, like, as watching the show, I'm growing a little bit weary of this conversation, only because I think we could have a bigger conversation breaking the fourth wall. We could be talking about how the fact that, like, we know once Carl pumps the baby in me, we're not gonna be in Summer House. Ain't no room. There's not enough room in this house for adults, much less a crib and a pack and play. Okay? Not happening. You think Kyle's going to be turning off his EDM music now he's got his little DJ career from Jordan? From Summer House Martha's Vineyard? No. No. I mean, you don't want those kids crawling on the floor, picking up just Tostitos remnants that he spit out on the floor at 4 o'clock in the morning? Like, there's no place for a baby. You know, Sarah doesn't even flush a toilet. Like, what's going on here? So, really, like, I would like to hear them talk about the fact that, like, yeah, we're making some good 8-9 season money now, but that shit is about to go away quickly, okay? This might be our last shot at the rodeo, okay? Our last checks from Bravo for the rest. So, you need to get it together, sir. That's the conversation that I would like to shift to at this point, you know? That's what I would like to do. What do I need to talk about from the after show? Oh, so Carl said that he's spoken to Everett quite a bit since the breakup, which I find very interesting because Lindsay did go to, and Carl, I think they were still together. They went to Everett's wedding. But apparently Carl said that he talked to Everett quite a bit since the breakup, and maybe even some other stragglers that we've had from Lindsay's past. I don't know if he's been DMing Payman or Stravy, but that he's been talking to the boys, and that there's been sort of like a running theme with this, like, oh, I want to be at home and raise my kids. I don't really know what point he was trying to make, to be honest with you, but he does not want to take blame for that, and that's clear. It's very obvious. Then he says, in terms of the conversation that he had with Lou, he was not expecting it to go that way, and I think a lot of people thought that, like, this may have been a scheme that Todd set up, if you know what I mean. Lindsay definitely thought that the seeds were being planted with this scene. The thing that Lindsay, I think, will never understand is that people do have reasons to get out of an engagement. She, I think, thinks, like, the ring does mean a thing, and it means everything, and you're not going to back out of it, and you're not supposed to back out of it for any reason. And I think that's just what, I think we just have to make peace with the fact that that's where Lindsay's head is at. And it shouldn't be, but here we are. Like, it just goes back to me saying that Lindsay Hubbard lives in a black and white world. You made promise to me, therefore, we are getting married. Things can get hard, but that does not matter because we made a promise to each other. I put this ring on, I'm getting married to you. You put this ring on me, you're getting married to me. So what's not clicking? But I think to many of us, it's not that unreasonable that you would have a conversation with a parent, trusted elder, whatever you want to call it, and especially somebody who works in the field of counseling couples before they get married, and they're saying to you, this don't, like, you in danger, girl, you know? I don't think it's, like, that weird that he would take that into consideration. Like, we know he loves his mama, but let's be real here. Also, what I found interesting was that Lindsay said that she had not spoken to or had not seen Lou in, like, a year. So I'm like, what kind of relationship is this? He's so close to Sharon, but we haven't seen your stepdaddy-in-law in a year? That's odd to me. Like, had she not seen this man since she got engaged at Carl? I'm very confused about that. But Carl did say that I was, like, sweating a little bit after that conversation with Lou. He said he went upstairs and they didn't say anything. They didn't speak for, like, an hour. And that he was concerned that Lou would be concerned that maybe, you know, he took too much toothpaste out of the tube and, like, said too much on camera. But Lou stood on business, apparently, and was like, you know, I said what I said. Okay? That's it. Danielle also seems to have no real understanding of why she's so strange with regard to the Danielle stuff or with the Gabby stuff. But what I did find interesting is that Lindsay and Gabby did the side-by-side interview talking about it. And Lindsay mentioned that in season 4, when she and Carl had that date on the rooftop that they basically got into a fight in like 7 minutes into the date, that following weekend, Danielle was all up on Carl and gave him a handjob in a cab, in the back of a yellow cab. And she says, well, she gave him some kind of job. And Gabby says, oh, she worked. And Lindsay says, well, Carl doesn't have to have a job, so somebody's got to. Okay, girl. Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, I'm blanking. Oh, the point that Lindsay was trying to make is that this is not, that Danielle's got a habit of, like consorting with, like, trying to go after dudes that, you know, are taken, and I'm using that term obviously very loosely, like, dudes that she knows that her girls are, like, some kind of way associated with. So that is very interesting to me. Real interesting. Also, Paige was making a bunch of jokes about Danielle, and she says, listen, I can make jokes about people that are, like, you know, not so nice, but I make sure to be lighthearted. But what Danielle was doing just felt icky. And she did not give a fuck about the fact that Gabby was crying. Danielle says in her side of the confessional, you know what, I'm going to get burned for this, but I just didn't want to deal with it in the moment. Like, I wanted to get back to a party. And that's selfish and that's rude of me. And then she says, first of all, just because you have a job title doesn't mean that you can come in on the weekends and be rude to your friends. Like, and what is she the CEO of? Like, I'm not the CEO of Giggly Squad. Like, come on. Never seen what company she's CEO of. So can't wait. Can't wait. Yeah, that was basically it. Amanda and Danielle have this session where Danielle's like, I respect you. I trust you. You're a woman of the world. I go to you. You're my counsel. You're my mother. You're my sister. You're my friend. And Paige is like, Danielle does not like Amanda. She does not fuck with her. She does not care about her opinion. Never has, never will. And I've clocked that shit for years. So I cannot wait for this reunion. I can't wait. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.